you know, when you're walking out of circumstance or situation, because there are times it'll seem to believe that, you know, you're not in faith. You know, things are not changing. Things still look like it's the same. And in the natural, you can't gauge it by the physical, because in the natural, we go by our feelings, we go by our emotion, we go by our senses. But when you live by faith or by the word of God, all you have is the word of God to do what? To be a supporter, to be your stance on a truth that you have embraced. And you have to know that you know on the inside that God, faithfulness will never fail. Are you following what I'm saying? Didn't say I couldn't fail. But God is faithful, and his faithfulness, he will never fail, right? And so what I'm going to do is share with you some of the things I shared during the week on my online Bible school by Grace Institute. And I'm going to take the woman with the issue of blood, and I'm going to show you the steps of faith that she used, how she got her healing. She had a plague for 12 years, and how she spent all that she had, and she didn't get better. She got worse. And the Bible talked about how she heard of Jesus. So let's look at this for a moment. Okay, so go to Mark chapter 5 and look at verse 25. Mark 5, 25. Now, we're right here in the midst of the story where Jairus came to get Jesus because his daughter was at the point of death. Now, one translation of Matthew's account says she was already dead. Mark's account says she was at the point of death. And Jairus come and, let's go back for a moment. Go back to verse 21. Let's look at verse 21. And let's open up with this. Notice this. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Next verse. Now watch this. And behold, that means look. This what this meant to give attention to. There coming one of the ruler of the synagogue. In other words, he stood out. Because normally he wouldn't be there in that crowd. He's a leader of the synagogue. You know, they had a special stance. They had a special way of how they wanted people to come to them, look to them. And notice this, it said, Jairus by name, that's who he was, and when he saw him, meaning when he saw Jesus, notice what he did. He fell at his feet. Now, this is what we call whenever you're walking by faith, and look, everything about our walk with God is by faith. There's nothing you can do without faith. But here's the first thing that this man did, because he had the need, right? In other words, God created us to have need of him. Let me say it to you again. God created us so that we would have need of him. That's how you were created. We were created to worship him. We were created to fellowship with him. God desire our fellowship. He desire you and I spending time with him. I'm not just talking about just isolated time, just, you know, where you may have a time of prayer, you may have a time of devotion. I'm talking about all during the course of the day. You may be working, you may be exercising, whatever it is you're doing. Lord, I just praise you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. What are you doing? You're fellowshipping with him. You're talking with him. You're communing with him. The Father really desires that. Are you following what I'm saying? And so here, Jairus knew that he had a need, and he knew that Jesus was the only one that can meet this need. I'm a religious leader now. And there's no one in my religious affiliation that can heal my daughter, that can raise my daughter from the dead. So when you find yourself, when you say, I'm going to walk this out by faith, one of the first signs of walking things out by faith, you have to humble yourself and recognize that I can't do this. I can't change me. Sometimes, you know, we need change. Bad attitudes, right? Bad ways. We know that they're there, but we can't change them on our own. We can identify that we may have this issue, but how can I change a bad attitude? I can't change that attitude on my own. I could feel sorrow. I could truly be sorrowful that I have this bad attitude, right? But then after a while, I'm going to go right back to the same way I was. Why? Because I didn't have anything. I didn't know how to replace the sorrow that I felt for this bad attitude. I felt the bad attitude. I felt what I did, but I had no way of correcting it. And that's how most of us in our faith walk. We have no way of correcting what we know that should be corrected. And that, and that's okay. You can go to the Word of God. One thing that we have today, you know, how long these phones been out? How long, anybody? 2005. So we got what, almost 20 years. So we got 19 years of these phones being out. And one thing about these little phones right here, nigga, and they become more and more sophisticated and they become more and more usable. But one thing that you could do is that they got all the words. I should have had one that just had all of my commentaries and concordance and Bible, kind of Bible course study books together, just to put it all up here and let you see, this is what we had to go through before 2005. To really learn, you had to turn the pages, JW. You had to read the book, the pages, to really get it. Today, you could just, you know, push the button and say, Siri, give me scriptures on anger. Right? Watch this. Siri, I need scriptures on anger. It didn't say anything, but this is what it found. It found 10 verses on anger. See what it could, you know, sometime it'll tell you, here's what I found. But it didn't do that. This time when I wanted to do it, it don't do it. But what I'm trying to say to you, you can use your little device and you can find scriptures again when you have need of something that you know that needs to be corrected. You can go to your little phone and just say, Siri, I need scriptures on anger. And guess what? It'll list them, but then you have to look them up. You have to study it, okay? It'll find it for you, but it can't feed you. Can you see this, what I'm saying? You have to feed yourself. But that's easier. It's better now than it was when we had to try to find the scripture. Look it up. Follow the trace. Today, it's much simpler. So here's the point that I want to make to you. The first thing that he did when he saw him, he fell at his feet. What is that? Humility. He humbled himself. Let me show you a verse of scripture in James chapter 5, verse 6. James 5, 6. Okay, and notice this. The verse, the one I want you to see, well, verse 7. No. Verse 5. Oh, is that James? No, I'm sorry. It's 1 Peter 5, 6. I said James 5. 1 Peter 5:6. I knew that didn't look right. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself. Here it is. Humble yourselves, therefore, where? Under who? No, it didn't say under the mighty hand of man. And this is the first step of faith. Because you're saying, I can't, God, but you has. Not that he can. We know that he can, but he has. He already has. For you and I, you know, when you read under the scriptures about, you know, the leper, the man, you know, that had a son or daughter that was constantly thrown in the fire and water, and, you know, and he said, you know, if you could do anything, well, we know he could, but revelation is always progressive. So if revelation is progressive, the progression that we see today is that on the cross, Jesus already finished every crisis that you and I will be confronted by. We can come to God the Father knowing that he, not that he will, but that he has already healed, already delivered. Can you see that? He's already did it. Now, what am I doing? The first thing he said, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because you know God is God is. God can. God is the only one that can bring forth this result. That you may be what? Exalted where? In due time. How will I be exalted? If it's anger, I will learn how to speak. I will learn how to speak with a soft word, a soft answer. You know, Proverbs 15, I think 1, they talk about how a soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stirs up anger. A soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. See, that's one of the verses of scriptures you use for anger. So what are you doing? I'm humbling myself under the mighty hand of God to what God's word said. My feelings, my emotion don't want me to be humble. My feeling, my emotion want me to do what? It want me to act up. Right? Vindictive. Right? Get even. Eye for an eye. No, that's not the way of the Lord. So you're going to walk by faith. You're going to have to make sure that whereas the word of God in your heart is pure. You have to look at it from the Lord. I'm drawing my strength from you. Right? Look at the next verse right here. Verse 7. Casting all of your care. Once you enter into faith, you got to cast all of your care from this moment on, whatever that situation is. You got to cast the care of it onto the Lord. Did you hear me? Once you enter in, now you're going to have to cast it up on the Lord because he what? He cares for you. Right? Put that in the classic Amplified Casey. Notice this. It says casting the whole what? Of your care. All, look what he called the whole of your care. Huh? All of your what? Whoa. Because you see, guess what happened? Because the moment you get in faith, you look, this is the reason why I say the moment you find direction, distraction is going to come against you like you have never seen before. And the reason why the distraction is because you found direction. So the purpose of the distraction is to get you away from the direction, get you away from the way you know to go. It wants to distract you so it can get you to move in the flesh. Because when you move in the flesh or stay in the flesh, well, guess what? Wherever the flesh is, there is envy, there is strife, and there is confusion. And then once you have that, then every evil work will come out amongst in that situation. And it's just like, how in the world did we get here? Because it's devilish. You can't trust your flesh. If you're going to live by faith, now we're talking about how faith works. If you're going to live by faith, you're going to have to come to a place that you humble yourself. And that you don't let no one or nothing, not even your spouse. I mean, if you're married, that's the easy way to get you out of faith is through a spouse. When you're married or you have a close relationship with someone. That's why married couples should have an understanding, especially when you're both in the Lord, they should have an understanding that no, I'm not lighting this fire. I'm not putting more wood on this thing. Why? Because you're working with each other. You don't want the enemy to be used to pull you apart. And then before you know it, your words, your vindictiveness have gotten so vile that you have caused a wedge between the two of you. And it's like, there's no way to bring that back like it was. Hurt. And we're not talking about marriage, but I'm just, you know, our marriage needs to be worked by faith too, you know. Everything we do is by faith. So what happened? You put a wedge and it's almost just like, it's not impossible. But the reason why marriages result is because our hearts are so hardened that we are not going to let the word just pull out that stone, pull out that thing that just caused me to be so angry, caused me to be so whatever. Y'all get it? So it's like it's called the hardness of heart. We all been there. We all been there. And that's what happened. And why? Because you found direction. And the enemy don't want you to walk that out. He wants you to stay bitter. He wants you to stay vindicted. He wants you to stay hostile. Why? Because your faith in God is on the line. God's not a respecter of love. He is a respecter of faith. Why? Because God loved you and I when we were unlovable. So there's nothing that any of us can do to stop God from loving us. He'll always love us. That's an automatic. But your faith is not. Even though you have his faith, but it's not automatic. You have to choose to humble yourself. You have to choose to cast the care of that thing. If you're going to be exalted in due time, you have to be the one to, you know, like they say, look like Boo Boo the Fool. That's an old term. That's for, you know, some of us. Yeah. So you think I'm Boo Boo the Fool? Well, that's fighting words right there. Because the next time the next thing is being said, it's not a word that's spoken. It's a lick strike. It's the striking of a hand. That was in my day. We didn't shoot it out. We fought it out. We fought till you didn't want no more. Right? And then we got up, brushed ourselves off, and we became friends again. Like it never happened. We got some chicken. So yeah. Today? No. They don't do that today. Right? All right? But what I'm trying to say to you is, notice this. You have to cast the whole of your care. When you are in faith, you got to understand, you're going to get a negative report. You're going to get something that's not going to coincide with you, that's not going to walk with you, it's not going to be receivable to you. And how often when we put ourselves in position, what do we say? Why me? Why does this have to happen to me? Well, why not you? I mean, none of us like that, right? I know I don't. But you know, it's a way of life. God's way is pure, it's perfect, but the way that we live in the world is not. That's why when we make a stand up on the word of God, we can trust that. We can lean up on his faithfulness. That whatever my weariness is, whatever my worries are, whatever that's causing me to be anxiety, I'm going to cast that on the Lord. I don't like what they're saying about me. I don't like the situation I'm feeling. I don't like the situation I'm going through. But I'm going to cast this thing upon the Lord. You know what the word cast mean? When you look this word up, it's the best thing I could, this is the only term I could give you. We all go to the bathroom, right? What do you do when you get through at that toilet? That's it. That's what the word cast means. Flush. What are you flushing? Your anxiety, your cares, your worries. So when a thought come up, Brother Joe, you're not going to catch that fish? You got to cast that care down and say, nope, I cast that care on the Lord. I say, you got to get to the, I don't care what Brother Joe say, I cast that care on the Lord. All right? Is that right, Brother Joe? Okay, all right. Stay in faith, Brother Joe. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. There are some people in here laughing, but Brother Joe, it's all right in my book. Don't worry about it. You cast that care. So when they tell you, no, you're not going to, you cast that care in the Lord. Say, okay. You just humble yourself. Okay. Nope. That's when you're going to say, whatever. Why? Because, see, you humbling yourself. Then you're going to come up there. Every time you throw that line in the water, sackle, redfish, whatever. It just come up. You got so much you got to say. Brother Richie, you didn't catch it. Look, I got too much, man. Let me help you out. Let me give you some of my load. Right? Share the load. That's it. Share the love, right? they friend, they laughing, but that's okay. But it's comical, but this is the point. When you cast your care upon the Lord, you have to humble yourself. And the reason why you're humbling yourself, because the anxieties, the worries, the concerns, they're going to come up against you one behind another sometime. Especially when you just got a negative report about something. You know, it's like a shock wave. It just boom, 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 boom. And you just have to catch yourself. And the only way that you can catch yourself sometime in the midst of a storm, Lord, I praise you. I praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you. You said, no evil shall befall me. Nor any plague come nigh my dwelling. Lord, I thank you gave me angels charged round about me. What am I doing? I'm catching myself. Now, as I catch myself, I'm ready for this assault. I'm preparing myself to anchor myself on this word. Because the report that comes to you is to throw you. It's to knock you off of your stance so that you don't get up again, so that you don't ever make a step of faith in nothing ever again. If you don't learn to cast the care of that thing on and have a trust that God got me, the enemy will see to it that you will always walk what be filled with anxieties. You feel with weariness. You feel with concern. Why? Because there are many people who have stepped out by faith. Now, I've been walking by faith for about right at almost 45 years. And I can tell you a bunch of people that started out with me don't have the same belief, don't have the same conviction anymore. And the reason is because some things didn't work out that they were standing by faith. There are things that didn't work out for me either at that time, but I can't give up on God. I have to come to the place when something doesn't work out right, it's because it's not God's fault, it's mine. I like the way Brother Copeland would put it. Brother Copeland would put it, he says, every fail in someone like this, you know, anything that's unsuccessful or not fruitful, you know, it's a prayer failure. In other words, a prayer failure is something, I didn't pray about this. I didn't put this before the Lord. I didn't wait on him. So when it's a prayer thing, you have to wait on him. You still have to wait on him. You have to trust him. All of that is part of prayer. I'm not going to act on something without him giving me his way. I'm not going to take for granted, well, this is the way. This is what I'm supposed to do. No, you don't know. But he does. He created us in a manner. That's what faith is. He created us to do what? To fellowship with him. Father, what do you think about that? What do you want me to do with that? What is your way of this? When you do that, you involve in him in the circumstance to keep the worries off of you, to keep the concerns off of you once and for all. Notice this, on him, for he cares for you. And look how they say, what he cares, affectionately. Think about affectionately. We all want affection, right? That's what his word does. He cares for us affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. That means I'm going to watch over and make sure you're going to be okay. When you cast the whole of your care on him. Because you why? You can't see what the enemy is lurking in the dark against you. You can't. You have no way of knowing what he's going to do. That's why you have to trust in the Lord. With all of your strength, with all of your might. Why? Because he cares for me. And because he cares for me. Now notice this. Because he cares for me. Now, what's going to take place? Whatever the enemy is warring against me about in whatever fashion, I don't have to be concerned about it. Because what did I do? I cast the care upon him. So the Lord is watching. He's affectionately, he cares about me affectionately, and he cares about me watchfully. So he's going to be watching over me. Whatever the enemy throws at me, I'm not going to feel it from that point on. Why? Because I'm humble myself. Can y'all see that? Yeah. But I'm telling you, now it sounds easier than what I'm saying. It's supposed to sound easy. But you got to renew your mind to walk that out, to stand on that. Why? Because the natural assault going to come through people. What they say, what come out their mouth, and then your flesh will want to rise up to do what? To protect it, to defend it. But once you cast the care upon the Lord, a dead man don't have no stance. Right? He's dead. So you have no position. Okay. Go back to Mark chapter 5. And what is that verse? Was it verse? I forgot. What was that, Jairus 23? And it said, and he begged him earnestly saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her. Now look what he's doing. See, these are steps of faith. Beg, mean he humble. Saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. In other words, I'm not looking for no religious game here. I need some serious help. He said, come. This is his request. This would be like yours. Come, lay your hands on her. See, he had faith in Jesus. What was his request? Come, lay your hands on her. It's the same thing that God is doing with us today. Jesus is not here, but the Spirit of Christ is in us. We be the hands. We be his feet. What are we doing? We're carrying his ability, his power, his authority, and we have to be the one to release it so that the life of Christ that's in us can be releasable to that individual so that they can receive healing. They can receive deliverance. They can receive the breakthrough. Can y'all see that? That's why the enemy don't want you and I to live a sanctified life for Christ. Not that God couldn't move through you, but your own heart will condemn you. Because tradition and religion have taught us for so long that, you know, God can't use you, your old rotten thing, your old this and that and et cetera. Well, when you look at right here, God, no one had the word of God but God in the flesh. And all the people that he healed, even Jairus, a religious leader, he was dead as a doornail. He had no life in him. We're talking about the story. You got more life in you than he would ever have. He's not born again, but he has enough humility to understand, I don't have this power to heal my daughter. Because if he did, he would never come there. He would have never fell before Jesus' feet. He would have never been at that seaside waiting on Jesus to return back from the other side. He's a religious leader. Getting at you with all you heathens. I need to be in my sanctified place. People looking up to me. He got out of that place. Because his daughter's life was at stake. And he said, come, lay your hands on her. And notice this, so that she may be healed. And watch this. So that she may be what? Healed. Healed and live. Healed and what? And live. That was his faith. That was his request. And Jesus went with him. Next verse. And Jesus went with him. He didn't ask, Brother George, how long this been? Did you go see this specialist? Did you do this? He didn't ask. He did. What did he do? He just went with him. And a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides, also almost to what? Suffocate him. Now you think that's something? Watch this. Next verse. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood. Now, Jesus wasn't holding a healing conference. He wasn't holding a revival. He wasn't ministering to the sick. He was walking with Jairus. But now this woman who had a flow of blood for how long? 12 years. What are we talking about? How faith works. She got an issue. Let's look at her faith being at work. Next verse. and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians, and she spent all that she had. So it tells her suffering, it tells what her condition was, and it tells how long she had it, right? And what's the last thing it shows us in this verse? It got worse. Can you see? And it was no better, but instead it did what? It grew worse. Well, that's the same thing for you and I. It can grow worse. What did she do? Her faith was in medical science. Medical science let her down. I'm not against medical science. I'm just to the point to where we seek more from medical science first than we do the Word of God. That's the problem. Okay? Notice this. Next verse. And she heard the report concerning Jesus. Think about that. What reports? I like the way the Amplified put this out. She heard the reports. How he healed. How he raised the dead. How he cast out devils. Can you see that? How he cured the disease. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. Now, guess what took place? She got hope again. All her hope was lost. But when she heard the reports of Jesus, hope is a confident expectation. That means when you can find something in the Word of God that support your wherever you are at the moment, whatever is going on in your life at the moment, when you can find hope in the Word of God, that's your strength. That's your evidence. That's what you stand up on. Amen? Yeah. Why? Because in the finality of everything, when you got a negative report of something that went against what you believe, or maybe you made a mistake, something went against, you know, everything that you stood for, all of a sudden, look, you have no hope. I think in the book of Proverbs where it says that the heart, hopelessness make the heart stoop. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, when hope is lost, you have nothing to live for. You know, sometimes people say, I don't have anything to live for. Especially if you have a spouse, a sibling, or whatever. Sometimes maybe a job. I don't have anything to live for. And if they stay, you know, it may be an initial shock, but if they stay, it doesn't mean that it took grass root yet. But if they keep meditating on that, well, I don't have anything to live for. They keep saying that, I don't have anything to live for. If you keep that, then guess what's happening? You are, that seed is now sprouting a root system on the inside of you, and it is beginning to present life in a way, no matter how vibrant, no matter how someone, what someone is doing around you, what they're doing for you, all you see, I have nothing to live for. And before you know it, the inevitable will take place. Death will take place, right? Notice what she did. She got some hope when she heard concerning the reports of Jesus. And she came, notice it, she got so excited. Her faith came alive. She, notice what, she came up behind him in the throne. Remember, all the people that was with that was at this at the seashore when J.R. came to him, they was almost ready to suffocate him. This is the same people. She came in and touched his garment. It wasn't the garment that she was after. It was him she was after. But he wears the garment. The anointing is being released through his clothing. So her touching his garment was like touching Jesus. Y'all got that? Now watch this. Notice this. When this happened, now you got to remember, she is contagious. She should not be in the crowd. She should not be out and about. It's just, what is it? She was an outcast. She could be stoned to death. Jairus, as a religious leader, he saw her. Especially when she was crawling in. I mean, that's why you think she was crawling? Because she didn't want no one to recognize her, that she was unclean. That was wisdom right there. Look at the next verse says, for she kept saying, see what I'm saying? Just because you say I have no hope doesn't mean faith has come forth yet. Sometime out of people who go through sorrow, people who have grief, I never like the word grief. I don't like using it. But people go through that, and what happened, that thing catch a root system, and before it know it, you have built a foundation in a manner to where it's going to take you out sooner or later. But in a positive sense, she kept saying, this is what you got to do when you're in faith. She kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. Now, what gave her that confidence? She heard what? The reports. Because now hope has come again, has come alive. She heard the reports. And that's why she kept saying, oh my, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be whole. I know this blood, this blood disorder in my life, it will stop. So this lady saw what? Her opportunity to be healed, to be delivered. This woman saw her opportunity for what? For breakthrough. Look what she said. If I only touch his garment, I, who is the I? She, right? The woman who had the issue of blood shall be, notice what she said. She used the word shall. I shall. Not I might. Not I think. She said, I shall what? Be restored. To what? Health. Oh, glory. Can you see her faith at work? Look at yourself. Your faith should be at work in the same light. But the key to it all, you have to first come and humble yourself and know and come to the one who has the power, the authority to release it by faith. She kept saying it. Next verse, Casey. And immediately, because her faith was in him. Why? I'm telling you, it is all in how one believes and how one thinks. I can't stress enough when you're in faith how to release the power of God. your ability to release the power of God is based on how you believe. I'm going to say it again. Your faith in releasing the power of God is based on your believing. And notice this. Immediately, her flow of blood was dried up at the source. Wow, I like that. That means at the source of why it was doing that. Think about it, you being healed, you being delivered at the source of where it came from. Don't make a difference whose fault it was, my fault, your fault, Bebe's fault. Don't make a difference, Ray Ray. No. Immediately, her flow of blood was dried up at the source. Can you see yourself? Immediately, your whatever is dried up at the source. You are healed. You are delivered. Glory to God. And notice this. And suddenly, she felt in her body that she was what? Healed of her what? Distressing illness. Ailment. Whoa. She felt it. Suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. That's how fast your situation can change. Suddenly. When your faith is in him. When your trust, your belief is in him. Why? Because your motive, your heart is pure. You're gentle. You're at peace. You're easy to be in. It's easy to be entreated. What? The wisdom of God. God's answer to your prayer. God's way of delivering you. It's easily entreated. Are y'all seeing this? Next verse, Casey. And Jesus recognizing in himself, what did he recognize? That power proceeding from him had gone forth. I want to say this to all of you as believers. When you minister to the sick, don't make it if you don't have to be a preacher, you just got to be a believer. Power will leave your body, will leave your hand. You'll know it. I know when it don't. I know when a person don't receive it. Just as well as I know when they do receive it. Power will leave. Virtue will leave you. It's not your power. It's his power. But it's generating through you. Jesus recognizing in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth. Don't you know when you get tired? You know, you may start out doing something. Well, yesterday I went for a run. You know, the wind was contrary yesterday. And I was running in the ranch, and the lady say, "Ooh, you got it going right now, don't you? But when you turn back." That was a good compliment, huh? But anyway, I said, "Yep, I know, that's why I'm going to make my run short." And then while I was going, this is what I heard in my spirit. Well, don't you have authority over the wind? See, sometimes we just be gone and we don't even. And I said, "Yeah, Lord." So guess what I did? I took authority. So when I say, "Well, I'm going to cut it short," so I did it till I could make 4 miles, Brother Joe, 2 miles one way and come back. That'd be 4 miles. So on the way back, I felt nothing. It was like, huh, what a wind at? I was gone. Then when I got close to that bridge, you know, crossing the Vermilion? Oh, that wind started picking up. I never say, I'm going to throw you in that water. I just kept on going, you lie. I'm telling you, man. he all kind of thought. And then the wind tried to pick, and I say, in the name of Jesus. So I just started leaning into it, and then all of a sudden it just died down. You could feel it blowing, but it was not to the place to where as it was gusting about 34 miles an hour, I think it was. It was like high 17 miles an hour and gusting 34. And it was like, oh my. I didn't even know that was going on. But what I'm trying to say to you, I could feel on my way back, I had a lot of energy going. But because I had to exert so much energy, even in that wind coming back or whatnot, even because you start out fresh, but after you didn't run for a while, well, you're starting to get a little tired. Right? And you could feel, you don't have what you had when you first started. I'm trying to use this to the point to show you it's the same way how virtue, the power of God, will leave your body when you lay hands upon someone. You could feel it. Just like you could feel yourself getting tired of whatever it is that you're doing. Sometimes you get tired of sitting down, right? What do? Stand up, right? Go do something, right? Well, this works the same way, but it's coming forth from your spirit. Your spirit is not being weary. It's your body that gets weary because you're generating a power, a force that comes out of the realm of the spirit. There is no, it doesn't get tired. Your spirit doesn't get tired, doesn't get weary, but my body does. Okay? So I was using that to show that you deplete. And that's why there are times you need time to sit back and do what? Replenish. Even we that as ministers of the gospel, we have to have time to replenish. Why? Because you just can't keep putting out, and don't have time to replenish. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to destroy yourself. You're going to wear yourself out. And that's anything, just like even whatever work you do, whatever line of work you do. You don't have time to replenish. You even exercise. If you just say, well, I'm going to exercise every day, you're going to wear yourself out. Then after a while, you're not going to even want to do it. All right? You lost 20 pounds and gained 50. Some people say, I work for this. I say, oh, no, I'm not claiming that. That's what a guy tell me at the gym. He said, Ty, I work for this. I said, go ahead on now. Go ahead on with your bad self. I ain't speaking that on me. So, next verse. He said, Jesus recognizing himself, that what power proceeding from him had did what? Gone forth. And turned around immediately in the crowd and said what? Who touched my clothes? I don't think he really knew. From his humanity side, I'm just saying. From his godly side, I'm pretty sure he knew. But from his humanity side, I don't know. But he looked at the woman, next verse. He's looking at the woman, and his disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing around and how, hard around, and you said, from all sides, and you asked, who touched my clothes? Next verse. Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. Well, for him to say still, he kept looking around to see her. Evidently, he knew something, right? Next verse. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, notice this. Though alarmed and frightened and trembled, she fell down before him and told him the whole truth. What was the whole truth? How she spent all that she had, went to many physicians. She didn't get better. She got worse. But I heard of your reports of how you heal, how you delivered. And I said to myself, if I could just touch the hem of your garment, When I heard the report, I got hope. I had some hope, and I said, if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'm not supposed to be out here, but I took a chance, Jesus, and I came and touched your garment, and immediately virtue came from you, and I felt immediately in my body the blood stop. That's what she was telling him. And look what Jesus said. Next verse. Daughter, your faith, look at that. Here it is. How faith work? Your trust and confidence where? In me. You see that? Springing from faith in God has restored you to where? To health. Go in peace. Go in into peace. Go in into peace. That means you enter into this peace. Don't ever have to be concerned again that this will happen again. How many times people have been healed from cancer, Sister Pat, or some type of disease, and the fear, Desmond, of it coming back? Jesus told her to enter into peace. That will not come back on you again. That's what that means. How can you have peace if it come back? You have no rest. Right? Every little ache, every little, it's back. Oh, I can feel it. It feels like the last time. The devil wants you to, you have to be take authority and say, no, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I've been healed. I am healed. And I will remain healed. That's got to be your confession. Y'all getting this? And notice this. He told her, go and enter into peace and be continually healed and free from your distressing bodily disease. Jesus told her that. So guess what? The disease, the suffering in her body, it cannot happen again because he's the Lord over the pain, the distressing, the disease. He's the Lord over it. The disease don't have power over the word. Did you catch it? Next verse. And while he was still speaking, there came some from the ruler's house and said, Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother distress the teacher any further? What can he do? Why are you going to go talk to your pastor? What can he do? Huh? Next verse. Overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue. Look what he said. This is important when you're in faith. Because they just brought him, your daughter is dead. Jesus said, he didn't notice this. Jairus didn't answer. Look who answered. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be besieged. He didn't talk to the crowd. He talked to Jairus. Do not be besieged. Do not be alarmed. Do not be struck with fear. Huh? Simply keep believing. Or keep, yeah, only keep on what? Believing. That's your and my stance, Paige. You got to keep on believing. Regardless of what the report is, regardless of how bad it sounds, you got to believe. Right? Next verse. And he permitted no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Next verse. And when they arrived to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he looked carefully with understanding at the tomb and the people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had gone in, he said to them, why do you make this uproar and weep? The little girl is not dead, but is sleeping. And they laughed and jeered at him. But he put them all out. What did he do? He put the doubters out. He put all the belief out. when you're living by faith, and especially something that's really close to you, that you know you don't need no doubt, no unbelief around, you keep some things to yourself. You only let stuff out that you know that somebody can be able to stand with you. If they can't walk this thing out with you, you don't let them in. Why? Because you don't need no more doubt. You got enough pressure on you now from your own thoughts. Right? So what Jesus did, he put them out. They would have been a hinder. And he kept the mother and the father and the three disciples. Next verse. He gripping her firmly by hand, and he said to her, Tabitha Kumai, I guess that's how you said, which translated is, little girl, I say to you, arise from the sleep of death. What do you think happened? Next verse. And instantly, just like the one more dish of blood, immediately her blood stopped. Instantly, the little girl did what? Got up and what? Started walking around. For she was 12 years old and was utterly astonished and overcome with amazement. Now, let me say this last thing to you. When a person is raised from the dead, if their spirit that come back in that body is going to stay in that body, the first thing they're going to have to do is eat. The reason for that is to awaken your immune system, digestive system, to do what? To receive food. If the body itself can receive food or water, then guess what? The spirit has a place that there it could dwell. That's a sign. That's a medical term. That's a medical term. And in some places you'll see, and they gave him something to eat. The reason for that, again, like I say, is for the digestive system to do what? To start working. If it doesn't respond, that spirit will leave that body. Are you following me? Just saying, you know, just for your own information and whatnot. But that's what this is. So this in our lesson today. Did you learn anything today?